Welcome to,
or welcome back to,
Dark Room Reviews. My name is Ginger.
And I'm Matt.
This week we're going to be reviewing a pandemic-themed horror movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's called Host. We're just wanting to make a horror movie a little bit more realistic, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's dive right in. So, who are we? Well, my name is Ginger. I am a full-time student. I can't even say that
You've given up now. Hey guys, episode 21. We finally given up.
22. Episode 22.
22. I don't even know what we're on
anymore.
You got it wrong. At least we gave up on other things.
Prize. So, normally, pre-pandemic, we're both in the aviation industry. I'm an airline pilot. Matt is a flight attendant. However, he's doing his pilot's licenses. So, that's our usual world. So, then, obviously, if you've been paying attention to the last year and a bit, you know that we're not doing anything. So, now I am...
quantifiably nothing.
Yeah. So, now I'm a full-time student back in university. And this is what we do for fun. We argue about horror movies.
Because what else do you do?
Right?
Well, I think some people in this movie had other plans of what they thought would be fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun, guys. Don't do it. Well, and before aviation, in case you didn't know, I had another career that was also fun in film music and TV production. So that's kind of where I get all my technical, analytical motives. I don't know, thoughts.
Where you get your party pooperness.
Oh, yeah.
Pooping so, on the movies.
I guess that means
the great debate lives on.
I'm the worst, apparently.
No.
In movies, sometimes. All right. So the movie we're talking about again is Host. Just to give you guys like a bit of a synopsis, Host was released in 2020.
Pandemic movie.
Yeah, it was a pandemic movie, and that's very much relevant for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just the general gist for you guys, essentially, there are some friends that get together for a Zoom meeting. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And they decide that they're going to do something oddly specific for the Zoom meeting.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
It involves contacting some people that are no longer with us.
Uh-huh.
And things go interestingly.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested in that, check it out and then continue on with our review.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was directed by Rob Savage and stars Haley Bishop as Haley, Gemma Moore as Gemma. I think you can guess where this is going.
Yeah.
Emma Webb as Emma,
mm-hmm.
Radina Drandova as Radina, Carolyn Ward as
Carolyn,
Edward Lennard, this one tricks ya, as Teddy. Just a short form.
Mm-hmm.
And Salen Baxter as Salen.
So this really is a callback, I think, to the Blair Witch Project.
Mm-hmm.
They used the actors' real names as their first names in the movie, and that's what this movie does.
Yep, and that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting little fun fact here, because, again, this is a lower-budget kind of indie-style movie, they didn't actually have any soundtrack.
Yeah.
No music. They did have some sound effects, and I think they did appropriately use their budget.
Yeah.
But... because they do some other things similar to Blair Witch where they decided instead of, you know, opting for a soundtrack, they try to make it creepy in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into that. So what are we open to? Our favorite screen?
We open to...
the waiting room.
Yeah, sadly a very familiar scene. It's starting a Zoom call. And again, if you're not familiar with that, where have you been for the last year and 3 months? Yeah.
So, I just rounded two at this point.
Yeah. So basically, Haley is the host of the Zoom call, and you can tell right from the opening scene that Haley's demeanor is nervous and odd.
Yeah.
And you don't really know why yet, and that's good. Like, I think they do a really good job at not giving so much away. Like,
well, so... yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think in some of the ads that they ran, it kind of very much was like, this is a movie where ghosts or something happens during a Zoom call.
Oh, I saw no ads for this movie. I saw nothing. Literally, a friend had to tell me about this movie, and then when he told me about it, I just found it was very, like, nondescript. And so I was like, yeah, I'll watch it at some point. I don't know. And then I eventually got around to it, and I was kind of blown away by it, because... I really didn't know going into it what it was about.
See, unfortunately, it was released the similar way that the movie Unfriended was released. Mm-hmm. And Unfriended is a very similar movie. It takes a few stabs at other issues that this one does not. This one kind of has the overarching story as COVID-19.
It's literally just COVID times.
Unfriended is more about, like, social media issues and bullying, more particularly in, like, elementary and high school.
Right.
Similar idea, though, where basically, like, the whole thing's from the point of view of a Skype call.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back then in 2009 when Skype was a thing.
Mm-hmm. But, so, yeah. No. So, okay. So, here's the thing. Let me explain the scene a little bit more. So, she's nervous. She's acting odd. You can hear that there's some strange noises coming from her apartment. It's broad daylight still at this part in the movie. And that's about it. She's checking her apartment a little bit, and then she's waiting for her friends to join the call. In order of the joining, it's Emma joins right after, then, sorry, Gemma.
Gemma, then Emma.
Who states that she's nervous, like, right off the bat. Emma's like, oh, I'm kind of nervous. Then Radina joins. And then the friends make a COVID reference because someone starts coughing, which is like, yeah. See, I like the movie because it feels very natural. Like, that is what it's like to be on a friends with a, like, on a call with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, but I mean, Unfriended did that the same way.
That's fine. I just think this is more relevant.
I suppose.
Yeah, no, I think this is more relevant. They do a really good job at, not just because I'm putting this movie up doesn't mean I'm putting that movie down. I think they just do a really good job at making it seem like they're not acting. There's not a whole lot of exposition, which is excellent. It just, you just sort of join and you're just watching these friends have a call.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with the Zoom call is that they, as everyone who's used Zoom knows, it is timed. And if you look at the duration of the movie,
it's exactly 1 hour.
It's the same time. It's a 1 hour film.
Yeah, which I love. I think it's, again, I like that they took those, like, subtle things that you would only know if you've been intimately aware with Zoom in the last year. Like, I think that's really clever. I think it's cool. It's like, yeah, it's trendy. It's going to be stuck to a particular time spot, but I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, the movie has nothing to do with COVID. I like that too. I like that we're not just making, like, another quarantine style movie or something about contagion or something like that. Don't get me wrong, those movies have their place in the world, but, like, this isn't a virus movie. It just happens to take place
during
this time.
Yeah, I get that it's going to take place during this time. I guess I just worry that it gave back a lot of Unfriended vibes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my thing. It's like, I guess I feel like I've kind of watched this movie before. But there are some differences, so we'll get into those.
Yeah.
And we'll give you my final thoughts at the end.
Okay. So just to move on here, After we have Regina joining, then we have Carolyn, and you can see right off the bat that Regina has perhaps some boyfriend issues.
The classic on you, angry at him, making dinner, he storms out of the room.
Yeah, and the girls kind of talk while she's gone and has them on mute. And obviously she has them on mute too, so she can't hear. But they're just saying, like, oh, not sure it was the greatest decision moving in during COVID. And it's like, yeah, actually, we probably all know a person like that.
Yeah.
Or at least you've heard of a friend who's moved in with, like, a new partner.
And you're like, ooh.
And you're like, oh, that might not work. And then it doesn't work. And it kind of explodes, like, in people's faces. Yeah. We've had some friends who it didn't work out so well. So then Carolyn shows everybody her custom background screen, which
this one is kind of cute. And it does come back. I feel like this one's one of those things that's like,
I feel like it comes back, but you don't know it's going to come back. I find that's the cleverness of this movie. You know how sometimes they'll insert a thing and you're like, oh, that's foreshadowing. You know, like, you're like, okay, that's going to come back.
Well,
I had no idea.
There is one that I was like, I have a feeling this is going to come back. And that was the filters, the face filters.
Yes, the face filters. I had an idea about that too. But so basically, for anybody who doesn't know, and for a lot of you who will know, you can sometimes make a custom background. And sometimes it can be actually kind of like a mini, like, a loop of a movie that, like, plays in the background on your Zoom calls when the screen basically goes, not locked, but, you know, like to sleep.
Yeah.
And she made one of, essentially, she videoed herself coming into her bedroom, getting her pajamas on, and kind of doing, like, part of her nighttime routine.
Yeah,
it's kind of like sitting. Cute. Yep. It's kind of cute. So, I didn't think anything of that when she was playing it, and it actually comes back later. So I think that that little part of it is cute and mm-hmm. clever.
Again, I just worry that this will date it in the wrong way. Again, time will only tell how we feel about this movie, like, 10 years from now.
It will date it. I'm not arguing.
I just hope that it doesn't date it in a way that, like, ooh, yeah, remember when we used to do that? You know, almost like, I don't know, what's a random thing? Like, why am I thinking of that kid art program? What's the name of it? No, paint? Just me. Not paint.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it was like, it's not Art Attack. That was a TV show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm thinking, the only thing that's coming to my head is Kids Pop, but that's not the name of it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Can you describe it?
So there were like 4,000 Kid Picks. Kid Picks. That was the name of it. There was like 4,000 iterations of it. It was like the only fun thing that were installed on school computers when I was a kid. But again, you didn't have them at the same time I did.
No.
Because I was able to, like, we started having computer labs around grade 4 or 5. And yeah, I remember, like, Kid Picks was one of the things. It just reminds me of that. Like, because, like, you know, it's one of those things that's so great as a kid, and you always look forward to the new version of Kid Picks. But then you look back on it and you're like, ooh, that was...
Well, look. We've said it before and we'll say it again. Technology always dates a movie. So this is no different. Like, this is just a form of technology.
But there are some movies that you date it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's just because this was filmed at X time.
Yeah.
But I just hope it doesn't date it in a bad way. That's my only thing. It's like, I just hope that you're not like, ooh, yeah, remember when we used to make custom backgrounds? That was really cheesy. I just hope that doesn't happen. I do like it, though. Like, I do like the effort that was put into that.
I think it'll make it relevant. I think it'll date it to a period. Technology always dates a movie, and usually not for the better. However, there are some rare exceptions of that, so who knows? Maybe, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll have to see. Only time will tell.
Right.
So now we have the last person joining.
The very last person who joins is Teddy. So basically, it's really a group of girls and one guy friend, and he has a partner, a girlfriend, that clearly the friend group does not like.
Well, and they also don't like her because they kind of get the vibe that Teddy's going with her because she's rich. I think they have, like, a... This does take place in the UK.
In England.
And I think they said he was living in Spain in their, like, summer home.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, they just quarantined in Spain because they're wealthy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we stand with Teddy.
And I don't think... She might not like the friend group very much because she just seems to kind of distract Teddy from wanting to join this call. And I think that's rude, too. Like, when you... Look, we all know what this is like right now. When you have friend groups, not every group call or chat that you're going to be on is necessarily going to be with both, like, pairs of a... Like, both individuals of a couple. So, for example, I have a book club. Like, I'm in a book club.
Yes, I am forbidden to join the book club.
It's a girls-only book club. It's just the friends. It's not their significant others. And that's it. That's what we do. It would be, like, definitely a faux pas if any one of us had our boyfriends or fiancés or husbands sitting on those calls with us.
Yeah.
It would just, it's not really the intention of the group. And that's what this call kind of seems like. This call seems like it's just supposed to be for you. It's not supposed to be like you chatting it up with your family and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So anyway.
So then we get introduced to Teddy's item. Air quotes around item.
Yes.
Again, for those of you that kind of know, there is a seance here, but you don't really get told that explicitly until later. just after this.
Yeah.
But essentially you learn, okay, Teddy has an item that he was told to bring specifically for this call, and he claims it is a specifically, like, creepy item because it was his grandmother's or his nan's, mm-hmm. and it's a music box, I think it was.
Like a music box.
Yeah, and he found it really creepy as a kid.
So, okay, so here's what I do like about this movie. The lack of exposition. I like the lack of exposition. It's really good. They still have to introduce you to stuff, but not in the way that they're storytelling so much. And what I can explain by what I mean by this. So at this point, like, we've talked about this, we're probably like 10 minutes into the movie. They have not actually told you yet, when you're watching the movie as the viewer, you don't know that they're doing a seance.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. You might have gotten an inkling if somebody told you about it, or if
I kind of picked up that there was... I didn't know that it was going to be a seance. I did know that it was paranormal themed. I just didn't know what happened to lead us to that point.
Right, but here's the thing. They haven't told you that it's a seance. I like that. And when they're asking about the items, they make it very natural. They're just like, oh, Teddy, do you have your item? And he's like, yeah, it's my Nan's music box. I really hated this thing as a kid. Blah, blah, blah. It creeps me out. And that's the beginning, middle, and end of the conversation. It's very natural.
Yeah.
He's not saying, like, I picked this because I'm hoping to contact my grandmother. Or some such storytelling like that.
Yeah, something that seems very obvious. Like, we need to say this in an odd fashion so people understand, like, why we're doing this.
You're picking it up, again, the way that you would be forced to if you were just watching the Zoom call as a random third party and you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
It's good. I like that. Like, they do a good job.
So then we finally get introduced to Saylan. And before this happens, Haley has a bit of a preface, kind of like, look, she is a friend. This person that we're about to bring on is a friend.
She's a friend, yeah.
Please do be respectful. I know this isn't everyone's thing. And I just want everyone to kind of get everything out and take this thing seriously once my friend arrives.
Yeah, like, everybody get their sillies out, because, yes, she's a friend, but also, like, this is something that she does on the side.
And this is where I kind of got the idea of, like, oh, it's some type of maybe psychic reading or seance or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Things that are very, you know,
a little touchy, maybe.
A little touchy and very divided.
Yes.
There are people that I've found that the experience with psychic and paranormal and all that is either you 1,002% believe in it or you 9,999% don't believe in it and it's a full scam.
I mean, like, I really sit on the side of don't. I have to say, like, okay, I guess I'll always leave a tiny percentage out for saying, like, I don't categorically know, so there we are. But yeah, we're both, you and I both, are both on the side of, like, no, that's a scam. It's just people who are generally, psychics are usually just people who are fantastic at cold reading.
Yeah.
Right? That's their whole thing, is that they know how to, like,
cold reading and look for answers.
Yeah, they know how to, like, get to you and ask a question without you knowing that they are asking a question.
Hey, did you pick that up in your general psychology class?
Yeah, a little bit, because you can tell that that prof absolutely hates the idea of psychics. She calls them, like, she has some choice words for them. Well, because basically they take advantage of people, right?
She doesn't like that.
She doesn't like the whole taking advantage of people aspect of the psychic reader. And I have to agree with her. It's shitty. Because normally people go and see psychics when they're, like, in hard grieving mode. And I think that's really sad. Like, think of all the parents out there that have, like, lost a kid.
And then seek out a psychic. And have lost, like, thousands and thousands of dollars, if not life savings, on it.
Scammy.
It's just scammy
that's
and sad.
Just sad. Like, I hate that shit. That kind of, it's a little stomach turning, actually.
But yeah, so they get the seance leader on, and she's like, look, I get it. Please, she's a friend, just be respectful.
Yeah.
And you basically jump right into it. So I do like the pacing of the movie. Again, it is only an hour, so it does move things along pretty quickly.
It has a really good feel where it doesn't get too silly too quickly, and yet it still has fast pace.
They have a great balance. Yeah, I will say for the rewatch, the seance, I remembered the first time being significantly longer.
It's not.
But it's only like, not even 10 minutes.
I know. It's fantastic how it's done. Like, they really don't drag it out. I love that they don't drag it out.
Yeah. So the way they prep the seance is they each have, like, they were supposed to have an item that's supposed to help the bond or something.
Yeah.
And they have a candle that's supposed to be, like, their link.
Yeah.
So then it's very reminiscent of, like, Hereditary.
Yep.
Where you're like, oh, Beauty, this is your link. Repeat this phrase, you know, except instead of being tricked into a family ritual, it's just a seance.
And Saylan doesn't seem creepy at all. She's very, like, nice and warm and inviting. And she basically tells them, like, look, these types of things can be jarring. They can be scary. And so if at any point, if you're feeling scared, I can talk you through it and we can break the link.
Oh, and the one thing where you're just like, this is kind of where I clued in pretty instantly. Is like, well, we are just a little less protected over Zoom because we're not physically in person. You're like,
here it is.
That's the catch.
Yeah. That was a little thing where even the first time watching it, I was like, oh, okay. That's what's going to happen. Like, there it is.
Yeah.
So
So they all kind of get started. They're all, like, closing their eyes, pretending, yeah. like, to do this whole Bond thing. And Teddy, the asshole person, gets, like, rushed over by the girlfriend. And then he gets whisked away off the call, probably for sex or something. He makes a funny sex joke earlier on. So you think he's just kind of like, all right, see you guys. I'm done.
Yeah, and the friend group really doesn't like it. And I get it. Like, it's annoying when you've planned an event, whether you believe in it or not. I don't believe in seances like that. But
when you've taken the time to coordinate with everyone to get a time and do this specific thing, especially during a pandemic where that's like the one thing you want to be able to do with people.
I would still be respectful of somebody's time, right? That's the thing. Like, I guess I would still want to be respectful of somebody's time.
Now, okay, the next thing that happens is kind of funny. I have mixed reviews on it because I find it like, little cheap, in my opinion.
I find it cheap, but it's so COVID perfect.
I know, and but I know that you don't like that so aspect cheesy. Of it. Of course,
so
I did that.
Right when there's a quiet moment, you get like there's a knock on Salen's door, and everybody like kind of like freaks out, and they get all like on edge, and they're like, "What is that? What is that?" And she's like, "I'm so sorry. That's my food delivery. I'm so sorry." And she like gets up and she goes and she gets her food delivery. And they're all, like, all the girls are, like, oh, my God, like, they're breathing out. And it's a good comic relief moment.
And
like, it's
Gemma
funny.
Has been kind of the skeptic the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
So Gemma's kind of been, like, oh, yeah, I guess. I don't know. And then she's, like, maybe the ghost from, like, McDonald's will see us today. And you're, like, yeah, I get it. But I found it just, like, it's... You never feel great about a jump scare. They're always something stupid, and you just kind of like, oh, that was kinda...
I didn't think it was a jump scare though. For me, it didn't. It wasn't.
It wasn't
loud.
A jump scare.
No.
It wasn't loud, but it kind of had the same.
Comic, it was just comic relief.
It had a similar effect. And I was like, oh, of course they did that. Like of it was course. A food delivery because well, contactless delivery is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I just feel like you can't have a movie that's supposed to be realistically set in COVID times without having like a little. Call to that to be like, hey, remember when that was your whole life was getting like food delivery?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. I think it's a choice. I liked it. I thought it was cute.
I found it just a little cheesy for my liking personally.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was cute.
Now, okay. Next part of the part, like the next big scene that happens.
They get right back into
well,
it.
Well, I just want to ask your opinions on it before we tell everyone what happens. What did you think about this scene initially? Like, did you think that it was real? Did you think that it was all fake?
Which part? Gemma?
Gemma's whole thing.
No, I knew it was... I think I knew it was pretty much fake the whole time.
Yeah, that was my thoughts on it.
So, Gemma starts having an experience. Pretty much when they get right back into it, she screams, she jumps back a little bit from her chair and says that she felt something around her neck. And she starts telling a story about somebody named Jack at her school who was nice to her once. And then she reveals that he had died by hanging himself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, my personal opinion on that was like, maybe that's happening, but because Gemma had kind of been a shit for most of the call so far, she'd been cracking stupid jokes and not taking it seriously, and you could tell, we didn't really mention this part, but there was kind of a weird animosity between Gemma and the host, Haley, and because
well, they're
there was
kind
a
of like
strange...
friends, but they're also like, I think, they were kind of the type of friends that just told each other off when things they thought were stupid.
Yeah.
Gemma's the type of person to be like, oh, just fuck off with all your ghost stuff, and like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think, like, Haley might have been offended one too many times by Gemma, and so...
Also, weird thing, I don't know, we probably could have looked this up, maybe we still have time to, but I found it odd that they chose Haley, who had more of an American accent,
yeah,
where everyone else had more of a British accent, so I just wonder, like, I know they don't really go into it, they don't really have to, I mean, you can have people of different accents.
Non-British people live in England, I don't
think
that's that
weird. Yes, I know,
weird.
But I mean, that was never set up. So I guess I just like, oh, I don't know.
I actually think it doesn't matter that it wasn't
It
set
doesn't
up.
Matter. I just found it I found it an interesting choice.
Okay, okay. But again, I like that there's no exposition. It's not like, oh, our American friend Haley. And it's like, oh, God. Like,
I
that
know.
Would have
I,
been,
wasn't,
no,
I wasn't asking for exposition.
I know.
But
it's just because nobody says that if you're an established friend group. Nobody will ever call notice to that, right?
I know. And that's the thing. It's like, it's not so much that. I found that it was an interesting choice.
No, I liked it as a choice. I actually thought it was really clever. They're actually, like, doing something so that they don't talk about it. It makes the friends seem more established. That's what I think. I think it makes them seem more like they've known each other for years. That's the whole point. I think that's the entire point.
Yeah, I guess I was just kind of, like, curious to see, like, how they knew. I guess it could be school, because, like, there are some...
They're all the same age.
They're all the same age, but they're all in very different situations. Like, one is at home with parents. Another one is, like, living with a boyfriend. Another one's living on her own.
But they're all only a little bit older than, like, university age, so that's not really crazy.
No, I know. I'm not saying that it was crazy. Yeah. I'm just... It'd be kind of interesting to see, like, how, you know...
No, I like it. I like that there's no backstory... I like that it's, because a girl who was living at home with her dad, remember, she says, yeah, I'm back home with my dad for the time being.
Yeah.
Again, that's a very COVID thing to be like,
they
yeah,
may
have
even mentioned something about school or something. I don't remember. Maybe. But it's not something that I explicitly remember. It's just,
I don't think it's important.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, I don't think it's important. I like it. I actually like it.
So then something, now back to the story. Something falls on Salem. This is the only thing that I found odd is it's like, it was kind of played off as a glitch later in the movie when they finally get back in touch with Salem.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look closer at the actual thing that happens to her,
mm-hmm.
it looks like there's a person or something that has fallen.
Yeah, it's hard to see. I like, though, that they're not really showing you much.
I know. I kind of just wish it was actually more straightforward. Like, she kind of turns or freezes and then cuts out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to, like, seeing something and then it's never... Not, like, never explained. Not saying it needed to be explained. I don't know. I feel like there's other ways that she could have, you know, cut out.
Yeah, I guess. Because she did cut out, though.
I know, but it looks like a weird, like, someone jumping behind her.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of what it looks like.
But that's the whole thing. I think they're wanting you to question what's going on in her place.
Yeah.
Right? And that's all you know. You see something random happening in her apartment. You can't really see it because it's dark. And then she gets dropped from the call.
Yeah.
And that's when you learn that Gemma made the entire thing up.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, I kind of saw that coming. Because Gemma's been sort of a shit about the whole thing. And then everybody's like, oh, Gemma, like, fucking
hell. You had
hell.
Me going, yeah.
Yeah, you had us going, like, we really believed you, blah, 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 and she's laughing the whole thing off. And then everybody's like, okay, well, while we're on a quick break, like, let's get up and go pee and all that kind of stuff. And
then it pulls, like, the Paranormal Activity thing. They kind of pan to different people. It bounces around. Nothing really important's happening.
Yep, you
think
see...
a candle goes out, but I don't think that has any significance to anything.
Well, I actually think it does. So it's Gemma's candle that blows out first.
Yeah.
And I think that that's because essentially the whole premise here, because we're gonna have to break it to you guys, but the premise is that they contact a spirit or a demon spirit that is not real. Like, it's
well, I don't
not...
know if they contacted. I think they said that because they had ridiculed the spirit world.
Yeah, it sent something else.
It conjured, they basically created a spirit or a demon.
Yeah.
For each of the people that were involved.
I don't know about for each. It was kind of all the same.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It was like a created demon or a created spirit. You can think about something that wasn't really real. It the person's backstory, fake Jack's backstory, is not real.
Yeah.
So.
But it created like a shell of a spirit from that
right.
insulting and fakeness of it.
So for me, like the significance of Gemma's candle blowing out first.
Is like the starting of it happening.
Is the starting of it happening and it targeting her. First, because they're just like, oh, you're the one who fucking started this thing.
Yeah, but they don't target Gemma first, don't they?
But they kind of do by torturing her. That's the thing. She watches. Notice how Gemma... Okay, well, again, we're jumping ahead here, but, like,
Gemma's
one of
the
last ones to die. And I think there's part of it that isn't that almost worse. Like, if it's trying to terrorize you, it doesn't kill you first. It actually kills you last.
Yeah.
And it does. It kills her last. Anyway. So, Haley comes back, and Haley's pissed. basically, they all start to, like, slowly trickle back after they come back from the bathroom, and some shit goes down, like, really soon after. Haley's chair, with Haley sitting in it, gets pulled across the room.
Yeah.
Love this.
Well, and she's in, like, a tiny urban condo.
Yeah. Typical to what condos
so
look
she,
like here.
Yeah, well, she's in, like, a kitchen living room, dining room
yeah.
setup.
She's in a kitchen wall, dining room, living room setup. Everything in one setup.
So she's pulled across the entirety of her 300-square-foot apartment.
Yeah. And I like it. It's, like, I like it because you're not expecting it to happen in that moment. There are other moments where you are expecting,
yeah, quote, something to
paranormal
happen.
Shit, yep, to happen, quote unquote. But I like it because in that moment, the lights are still on. You know what I mean? They've just gotten back from using the washroom. They're not doing their fake seance anymore. Like, it's literally very out of the blue. And I like it. It's a good scare, mm-hmm, that's not a jump scare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, because they don't have music, a lot of the scares are a bit
not
better.
Jump scares. I know, well, a lot and of them
it's,
are better.
They are doing jump scares, but it's usually just because the thing that they are doing that is scary is just also loud.
Yes.
Like, something fell from the ceiling, right, or fell on the ground. That's going to be, like, a smash, and that, mm-hmm, does have to be accounted for.
So, yeah. So then right after this happens, of course, like, Haley starts looking around her apartment, and there's a loud noise in Carolyn's house. And so this is what causes Carolyn to take her laptop and go investigate. Now,
she hears it from the attic, and I'm like, are, yeah, you stupid? Who goes into the attic after having a seance?
Right.
Have you not seen any of the Conjuring movies?
Yeah, I can't quite tell if she's on a laptop or on a phone or tablet or whatever. Whatever it is, it's pretty nimble. Like, whatever she's taking up there, so maybe it's a phone.
Well, but here's the thing, though. So this is a bit of a continuity error that I have.
It must be a laptop.
Well, it would have to be a laptop, but then she gets a selfie stick type of thing.
Right.
But then my problem, too, is like, okay, then you could argue that it's a tablet, but then later in the movie...
Well, no, there's lots of those tablets that disconnect from the...
From the keyboard, I guess.
No, those do exist.
I know, but I guess, like, because there's a moment before Carolyn dies where she's, like, she starts typing, yeah, gibberish into the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll explain why in a moment when she dies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I guess it always just seemed more laptop to me.
It did, but... I mean, technically, there are lots of tablets that connect to keyboards. So I think we're just thinking in the way that, like, you and I have a more conventional setup of our laptops and computers.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people do. I don't know. I mean, it could work, but you also know, too, that, like, they did shoot this,
yeah,
on a normal camera, not on a, yes, laptop camera. Like, the quality is very indicative of...
The quality is very... It's, yeah, good. Yeah.
So, anyways, she goes to look up at the attic, and she can't do it. So she runs back and gets a selfie stick. And attaches her insert recording device here that she's using for the
Zoom
call.
Probably a tablet, yeah.
We're guessing a tablet into the attic to see what's going on.
And she does like a 360.
Yeah, she kind of spins it around so you can kind of see what's going on.
And the effect isn't good here. I like it.
Yep, this one's good. Again, because you see nothing and you're waiting very low light. It has very much like Paranormal Activity 2 or 3 where it's the fan...
Yeah.
Where,
yeah,
like, it kind of pans in and out, and you're like, oh, no, there was something over there, I think, but now it's gone.
But now it's gone, yeah.
Yeah, similar idea of that, but then when she does pan in again on the second time, there are legs hanging.
Yeah, yeah, they're
like
really
full-on,
pale.
Like, full-on, pale, dead body legs.
Dead
and you're
body
like,
legs.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not good. So...
I like it. I think it's good. And then when she goes back, they're gone.
They're gone, yeah.
I like that it's a brief moment, you see it. But it's gone.
Overall, all the haunting stuff is good because you, yeah, don't see a lot of it. Some of it is a little cheesy.
Starts to edge into cheesy.
But
I
they
can't...
do, thankfully, like they anything that you see anything face on is very brief. It's not, yeah, like Insidious where you're like, why is the demon face like weird
painted on?
Paint, like,
it looks
face
like
paint?
It looks like it looks Darth like, Maul.
Darth Maul.
It looks like Darth Maul. It does. Every time I see it, I'm like Darth Maul. Like,
yeah,
I don't
crossover question mark.
Yeah, like it's. Funny because I like a lot of certain parts of Insidious, and then I really don't like
other parts,
especially the sequels.
And well, and that's what I liked about Host, is that if you are, you know, you're not going to be able to do the best makeup or anything like that, mm-hmm, make it as short as possible. And that's what they do. Like, yeah, you don't, yeah, see anything face on, and if you do, mm-hmm, it's like split second. It's there and it's gone.
Yeah.
So now she goes back to the room. She's freaking out, and Haley sees...
Haley calls Salen on the phone.
Yes.
I like this because Salen basically tells her, I'm so sorry, I'm having internet connection issues. Thanks for calling me. But then Haley starts, like, explaining what has just happened. She gives, like, an abridged version of what's gone on. And basically...
Well, Salen thinks that it's Jack.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, well, we were just talking about Jack.
She's like, so maybe it's just Jack, and that's okay. You know, sometimes,
yeah,
it can
Gemma,
seem frightening.
Tell me more about Jack.
And then Haley, in a really sarcastic, pissy, like, little way.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, Gemma.
Yeah, Gemma.
Tell Salen about Jack.
And that's when Gemma has to come forward and say, okay, I'm sorry, I made the whole thing up. And that's when she goes, oh, okay.
Well, that's no good.
That's not good. And she said, so basically what you may have done is invited a non-human spirit. And she's like, now what we're going to do is trying to figure out what they want. So she asks, essentially, Saelin asks, gets all of them to talk together and ask, like, do you have a message? And are you a friend?
Yeah, those were, like, and then it was questions. Like, you know, one knock or one for yes, two knocks or two for no.
Yeah.
So you find out through this questioning, and it's Haley's lights that flicker on and off.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you want? I can't remember what it was.
Well, no, they ask, all they ask is, do you have a message? And the first one is a one flash of a light and one knock, yes.
Yeah, so the light goes off one.
And the second one is, are you a friend? And the lights go crazy. Like, it's just like, on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off, like a bunch of different times. And that's when the girls start to freak out because they realize, like, the thing is likely not friendly.
Saelin's phone call cuts out. The lights kind of all, like, explode or something.
Yeah.
And so then Haley tries to
end the session
by, like, cutting the proverbial spiritual rope blowing out the candles.
Yes. Yeah, so Saelin had described earlier in the call that if at any time they ever need to end the
session,
seance, that what they'll do is imagine physically cutting the rope that is tied between them. Yeah, so they and to blow out their candles. So they attempt to do that. And for a brief minute, you kind of get the sensation. Now, I don't know about you, but, like, I know you know that it goes on. But I do get the sensation that it's calming down, right?
A little bit, but then it ramped up very quickly when Radina goes over.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way it's this easy. I was just kind of like, I knew it wasn't done, but I was like, okay.
But I like that they try to get you a little bit, right? Because you're like, okay, so it's sort of done, but you know it's not done. Because you're looking at your watch and you're like, they got like half an hour left. Like,
yeah,
something's going to go on.
Like, I knew something new was going to happen. I just wasn't sure in which direction it was going to go.
Right. So then, now all the lights are back on. Like, literally, all the lights in the various apartments are back on. And people are coming down. They're kind of laughing at themselves, trying to calm themselves down. It's good, like, natural banter.
Yeah.
I like that part of it. And Radina is seeing that her boyfriend is gone. And she's just like, what the fuck? And I think she even asked them at one point, she's like, did you see him leave?
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
All they can do is find his phone in the bathroom.
Yeah. And this is happening.
Yeah. And this is kind of a weird, nice thing. This I did like because you don't really catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn leaves, but then her background just comes on. So you don't actually really notice that she's gone. This is where the trick comes in.
Yeah. This is really cool.
Now, this is where we have the debate of whether it was a tablet, it's a wireless keyboard, it's a blah, 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 blah. It's something because then you start seeing, like, they're like, oh, Carolyn's typing something and it's all gibberish. Yeah.
And it's just gibberish, gibberish. It's like JK, JK,
just a bunch of different letters. Did you spell something on your computer?
And they're like, Carolyn, did you drop something on your thing? Carolyn, what's going on? They're like, because they can see that it's just her little, like, screen movie, right? Like, they know that the background is on.
Yeah, they try to call to her, like, oh, it's her stupid background.
And then I think an excellent scare happens at this point. I liked it. I wasn't necessarily expecting exactly this.
I was getting close because I think they did something similar in Unfriended.
Right. And so
I'm like, oh, this is going to be like something where like they're just going to show something crazy happening to her.
Yeah. And so if anybody has any experience with the fake backgrounds in Zoom, sometimes Zoom has this thing where depending on how close you're sitting to something or how far you're sitting away from your camera,
it'll act like a green screen.
Yeah, it'll act like a green screen. And it's very obvious. We're not talking good green screen technology here. But I like that they kind of included that in. So then the scare is that all of a sudden you see Carolyn's head and, like, face,
bloodied face being smashed onto
the keyboard.
Yep.
And that's when you realize that all the gibberish is because her face is being smashed into the keyboard the whole time.
Now, this one I kind of foresaw coming. This is the face filter one. So Emma...
Yes, the face filter.
...had been, like, dinking around with filters and...
Classic, like...
There's always one person that's like, I'm a potato, and...
There is always that one friend that's like, hey, do you you like my thing? And you're just like, oh God, that is so like, silly.
Why are you a cat?
Yeah.
So Emma's that person. And
the CEO that's stuck in the potato.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she has like a face filter on, and then everything kind of goes crazy, and she lifts her head up, and there is
something really cool
in the background.
It's catching, basically, what you see as a viewer is literally a face filter floating on literally nothing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. You're like, I knew that was going to come back to haunt her. And they're just, like, and they're all just, like, watching it on the screen. They're, like, they're basically, like,
It's very similar to, like, Invisible Man, because then she gets, yes. like, flour or something and sprinkles it on the ground, or coffee. I can't remember
which one. She's actually kind of clever. Like, she tries. Yeah, that Emma girl attempts to, like, fight back a little bit. Like, she tries to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Emma's, like, what the fuck? Like, she realizes that this is, like, a...
And then
again, a ghost spirit, a thing, and insert your paranormal thing here.
And then I like how they kind of again went Invisible Man with Radina's,
mm-hmm.
because her oven, you kind of cut over to her screen and her oven kind of cuts on and starts smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to like what happened in Invisible Man where the stove gets turned all the way up.
Yeah. And right at this point, this is when Gemma is like, everybody just leave your fucking house. Just get out of your house. We'll go outside and we'll meet outside. Like,
yeah.
just get up and walk out of your house. I don't even care about lockdown, none of that shit. Just fucking go outside, right?
And then, there goes Haley.
Yeah. And so the cool part about that is that while all this is happening and Radina's oven starts smoking and they try to warn her, they're like, Radina, your oven's smoking. But of course she's got them on mute because she had been trying to find the boyfriend.
The boyfriend falls from the ceiling. Literally, that's a good one.
The boyfriend falls from the ceiling almost on her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, didn't see that coming. I thought that was excellently done.
That was a good one. That was one you didn't see coming.
No. And then, so then, flash to the other screen, and Carolyn is still getting smashed repeatedly into her computer screen and keyboard.
Yeah, and then, as we mentioned, Haley and Gemma
are yelling,
at each other, and Haley gets not just dragged by the chair, but, like, dragged out of her chair on the floor out and door slams.
Yeah, in, like, full Paranormal Activity fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I like the ramping up of the different things in the different houses is really good. They're not all the same. So, like, Haley has the dragging thing. That's, like, her thing constantly.
Yeah.
And the other one has the face filters thing. And the other one is getting her face smashed on the keyboard. And, yeah, it's all kind of, like, choose your own adventure, sort of.
Choose your own paranormal adventure.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun game.
Yeah.
No. So then I called this one, too. This one, I thought it was a good tie-in because you didn't know where it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But then Teddy shows up again.
Yes.
And this is where I'm like, oh, man, what's going to happen? Is he just going to witness this? Are things going to start happening to him? I kind of knew he was going to come back. And I thought one of two things with Teddy. I thought he was either going to be the person that finds everyone dead.
Yeah.
Or he's going to rejoin later and he's going to have to try to figure out what's been going on.
Yeah.
He does join in, but then shit starts really kind of quickly happening to him.
Yeah. So he is, unfortunately, he's like a fucking, an innocent bystander in this, and it doesn't end well for Teddy. So basically, at this point, there are four people on the call, but there are only really two. Because it's really just Gemma, it's really just Emma
and Gemma.
That's it. Emma and Gemma. That's it. Because Haley's been dragged out of the room.
Oh, Radina got dragged and like...
Radina got dragged.
Yeah, snapped on the neck and something.
Yeah, she dies. She's dead. And what's her
face? Carolyn's face smash.
Face smash girl. Right. Yeah.
So it's basically just... And Haley's just gone. She's out of the room. You don't know if she's dead.
You don't even know what has happened to Haley. So basically... This is, like, Teddy comes back again, and he thinks he's funny. He's, like, pulling a prank and whatever.
Oh, he has, like, a marionette toy, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna haunt you, and stuff like that.
And Emma tries badly to warn him, but he doesn't hear her before he gets the whole thing out. And I like this.
Yeah.
I didn't see this coming.
I would say Teddy's situation gets, like, the most gruesome death.
Mm.
I would say, like, I would argue Teddy's is the creepiest out of all of them.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. So the girlfriend...
It was very Blair Witch. So, like, he gets dragged.
Yeah.
Then he's outside now, and you see the girlfriend is suspended above her pool by, like, choking, as if someone's, like, you know, Death Vader death grip.
Yeah, like, and then...
Neck snaps,
and she drops into the pool. And you're like, oh, shit, that poor girl, like, just, man, she had nothing to do with this.
Yep, he gets dragged around back into one of the sheds or something and runs out.
It's like a barn.
Yeah, and then he gets knocked out and then lit on fire.
Yeah, and his death is gruesome because he is just, he's just in agony the whole time.
Yeah, and you see, like, the slow crawl of fire, and he's, like, not awake, and you're like, oh, man.
Oh, man. That's not good. It's bad. So then, he's dead for sure at this point.
Yep.
And then Emma...
Oh, and right before he dies, the music box starts playing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a nice little...
It's a nice little tie-in.
Yep.
So at this point, all we have now is Emma is just alone.
Yeah.
Gemma has run out. She's gone.
Well, and you know that she doesn't live far from Haley because they actually, that's how the movie started too.
Mm-hmm.
Gemma, like, threw a stone or something at Haley's window, be like,
yeah.
Hey,
I'm
on my way home. Let me into the room.
Yeah.
She's like on her phone and then swaps onto her computer.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. So basically, Emma is alone watching this whole thing happen, and she's just hiding under blankets the whole time. She finally tries to leave. And I kind of figured that this is where it was going, because I was like, how is she going
to
leave?
Well, because each one kind of has its own little theme as to what's been targeting them. So Emma's whole thing has been like
an invisible man.
Type of thing. So she throws the blanket to be like, I think something's here. And sure enough, it catches on something.
And it makes a man shape underneath the blanket. And
she either gets pushed or jumped. You're not really sure which out the window.
But she dies, basically, from a fall.
Yeah.
So then, here's what I like. So, the cool thing is that up until this point, you don't know what has happened with Haley, and you don't really know what's going on. But very quickly you realize that Gemma has now made it to Haley's apartment, and she broke into her apartment through the window.
Yeah.
It's good. And they have the bottle incident.
Yeah, well, so she very quickly runs in and checks the call to see what's happening. You can kind of see she's,
and
like,
nobody's
looking.
Nobody's on, yeah.
Well, you can tell that she's like, oh, well, that number one is dead. Yep. Number two's dead. Yep. Like, she kind of goes like, ah, fuck. And just as she's about to go into, like, you know, the one apartment hallway, you know, the one room that you get in your studio apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
A bottle flies off of the counter and hits Gem in the head.
Yeah.
Now, I actually originally thought this is where the movie was going to end, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, oh, well, that's it.
Yeah.
They got her. And they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I thought it was going to leave. I'm not sure how I feel about the way they actually ended it.
Mm.
So, the bottle comes out, and then Haley's kitchen full-on, like, Paranormal Activity style, everything gets yeeted from everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, cabinets, everything, and it's just like if someone had, like, the Game of Perfection with all the kitchen utensils in cupboards.
Yeah.
And Gemma actually manages to get up.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm fucking done with this.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes and finds Haley in one of the rooms.
Newsflash, Haley is still alive.
Yeah, she starts looking around the apartment and finds her in a room.
Yep.
Haley had a Polaroid for one of the pictures. And they've been using the Polaroid to try to, like, take pictures as to where things may or may not be.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Haley has her Polaroid, they start taking pictures. But if you're very close and attentive, you'll notice that there's been a timer that's, like, in a notification at the top that says your Zoom call will end in, like, 15 seconds.
So you know shit is about to end.
And they're very slowly zooming in. Every 3 seconds, they're taking a Polaroid.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there, nothing there, nothing there. And it's like 10, 9,
yep.
8,
and right at 7, the last second.
Right at like 1, they take a picture. And there is really bad kind of zombie mask face.
Yeah.
And it jumps out
it's
at
like
the end of the
call. It's like a bloody face, basically.
It's like a bloody, almost zombie dead person face.
Yeah, like, jumps out at them, and then that's it. And then the screen ends, because that's the end of the Zoom call.
Then it's like, thank you for using Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the movie.
I like the credits. They're really clever.
Yeah, so they use it as, you can check, like, the participants of a meeting, and they actually did that for the production as the credits. So it's, like, the, participating members, and it's, like, Haley, so-and-so, whatever her name was, as Haley, and they actually did it as, like, the rolling credits.
Yeah, it was good.
It's cute. Now, back on my original tangent, I think that the jump scares and, like, where you see the people for the, how brief they are, they're good. But yeah. when you actually look at them, you're like, eh, a little cheesy. I'm not, it doesn't make or break it for me. And I like the premise.
Mm-hmm.
My overall thoughts on this movie are that I like the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does have a lot better production value than Unfriended, and the storyline's a lot better. But it just gives me so many similar vibes to it that when I was watching it, I couldn't help but feeling like I've kind of already seen this movie before.
So, and I'm different from you because I've never seen Unfriended. I've heard of it. I've never watched it because, quite frankly, it didn't have good reviews. I never watched it. And so, for me, this seems very original and very, like, on point for what yeah. we're all currently dealing with. I also think that it's a situation that I could see a group of people getting into, because people do this. I know that you and I wouldn't do this. We don't really, we're not ever in the place. I know,
the circumstances where this could have taken place theoretically could have happened.
Look, people host seance shit all the time. We wouldn't. We're not into that. But yeah. people do, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's not actually that far-fetched. And the fact that they're doing it during now, during COVID times, it's like, well, yeah, we've kind of had to do things over Zoom that we wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
I get that. So, like, for me, it was kind of, it was a neat, unique premise to have people be alone in a situation where you wouldn't normally be alone. I like it. It was a good setup to be alone.
I think for the setup that it was, it did a really good job as that type of movie.
Now, I think if you're asking me realistically, like, if somebody said to me, like, hey, we're going to have a Zoom call seance, I would tell them hell no.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, no.
For a couple reasons. No, because I don't believe it and I wouldn't want to, like, spend money on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no for the second reason of, like, in the back of my mind, because there is this tiny fraction of a percentage. Like,
but what if it goes wrong?
What if it is real? Yeah. What if it goes wrong? And you end up like that. Like, because here's the thing.
And there's also been so many weird things that have happened to us and things that we have feel, whether it's real or not.
Yeah.
That we just can't explain. And we're like, that's creepy. Whether that's all in my head or whether that's real.
Yeah.
I just don't want to deal with it maybe being in my head.
And here's the thing. I would think that it's likely all in your head. But, like, I wouldn't put myself through the mental anguish of, like, okay, half of those girls on that call lived fully alone.
Yeah,
fully alone. I wouldn't want to do that. That sounds like a goddamn nightmare. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare. To knowingly be like, yep, I won't sleep tonight. And knowing that it's like, even if the Zoom call had been fine, like, even if there hadn't
been... Yeah, there was no issues.
There's like a few bumps. But I would just be thinking, like, every little creak in the floor, which is likely just our cat... Right?
Yeah.
Like, I would be thinking, oh, that's a thing. Right? Because, like, it's like when you watch a really scary movie and it really gets to you.
And you're kind of already amped up. You're on edge.
Yeah, you have those amped up on edge moments. And I wouldn't put myself through that. Like,
yep.
And I guess that was my only issue with the setup of this call. Was like, really? You found, like, 6 friends who are willing to do that? Like... I don't know.
Just because they have nothing to do. I guess, and that's the thing with COVID. It's like, oh, we
have nothing else to do. That's, so I don't know. I'm somewhat torn on that because I think for myself, if somebody came to me saying like, hey, Gendry, want to have a Zoom call seance? It'd be like,
no,
I don't think so. for all of the above.
Yeah.
It's likely not true. I don't want to waste money on something that's not true. And even for the entertainment purposes of it, okay, but is it just going to freak me out and just going to keep me up all night?
Yeah, and I won't actually enjoy it.
Yeah, like, I'll be like, ugh, what was the purpose of that, you know? Yeah,
I agree.
Right?
Do I get into our scores?
Yes.
All right. So now we are going to give this a formal review. We're going to just modify it just out of a straight 100 just because there is no score. There are some things we really can't judge it on. So we're just going to give it a flat out,
yeah,
this is what we think out of 100.
Yeah.
So I will let you go first.
I gave it an 87 out of 100.
Woo.
Yeah. I think it is well-deserving for that. I know that I like it a little bit more than you.
Yep.
It hit home for me. I thought the acting was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that there was almost little to no exposition, which I think is fantastic. And I thought that the tech was cool and where they were throwing in the, special effects
yeah.
of it is very minimal. Mm-hmm. There's hardly any CGI.
Yeah.
If any, there might not be any. It's makeup. It's old school technology stuff. Yep. And I like that. It gives me feelings back to the Blair Witch of the things that I like about it, which is that they're not showing you too much. It's not cheesy. You know, I'm not staring at the demon being like, okay, but that's face paint. You know what I mean? Like,
That's Darth Maul.
Yeah, like, yeah, I like it. I like that. Okay, you landed lower. Where'd you...
I ended up on a 75.
Yeah.
Only...
No surprise.
Oh, yeah. Don't sound so thrilled by that.
I mean, okay. Even if you're splitting the difference between the two of us, that's still somewhere around an 80.
That's the thing, is at the end of the day, I think I don't necessarily like it as much as you do, but I do like it for the same reasons.
Right,
I will give
you
that.
Right.
I'll say I like it for the updated storyline.
The non-cheesiness of it.
Still a little cheese, but I can manage the cheese.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that for a found footage, it's one of the better ones out there. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of really overdone, kind of unrealistic found footage movies. And there's kind of...
I just don't like unrealistic found footage.
Yeah.
I'm like, give me found footage, but give me a situation that could happen. Not that has happened, but could happen.
My main problem with it is because there are so many similar in the line of found footage... Not even directly this. I know Unfriended is kind of the only one I've really mentioned, but just in general, I kind of felt like I had watched this movie before. And all it was just like, oh, it's a seance that would normally happen in person that's gone wrong, but now it's just over a Zoom call, and they kind of like adopted bits and pieces from other found footage movies.
And I think it's cool. I think it's relevant. I think they're looking at a current situation that we're all living in.
Whereas I found it like, yes, that was cool, but I just feel like I kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Just because I've kind of seen that style of movie before.
Yeah.
That was me. I would still watch it. I will say it was a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it that. Again, I didn't really have high hopes for this movie because of Unfriended. I was like, maybe I'll do like 50.
Yeah.
But 75 I think is good. It's just I did feel that it was very much like I kind of knew where this was going a little bit and very similar to other movies that have already been made.
And my opinion on it is if you like found footage style, and I think you will land somewhere closer to me in liking the movie. I think you'll be way more pleasantly surprised than you were expecting going into it.
Now, another thing I hope we're going to be pleasantly surprised on is this new movie that's coming out.
Oh, finally! We get to finish
Conjuring Universe reviews.
Yeah.
With the brand new movie, which is
The Conjuring.
The Devil Made Me Do It.
Exactly. This has been one that we have been waiting for, because this has been delayed over a year at this point. And it is coming out, as far as we know, still on June 4th.
June 4th, a week.
Yeah, which is a week from now. So that means that we're actually going to get to watch this and film our review.
Yeah, and we're going to just be able to post it, and you guys can listen to our whole thoughts. We're going to give you probably a little bit of backstory on it. Hopefully we like the movie, and we'll kind of give you some details on that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Thanks again so much for joining us here at
Dark Room Reviews.